Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Up Close and Personal with your host, Annie Latin Jazzy Rodriguez. Sit back and enjoy the journey where the possibilities are limitless. Enjoy the show.
Good morning, everyone. I just had to start with that song. I just love that song. Today is really, really special. I'm very excited. And even if I don't sound like it, I am. I'm a little bit under the weather, but I am very excited. I have someone today that I've been wanting to talk to for some time now, and he is just amazing. And I'm talking about flamenco guitarist virtuoso Jesse Cook. Welcome to Up Close and Personal, Jesse. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, no. Thank you for stopping by. I am so happy to have the opportunity to speak with you today. There is so much that I would like to know about you, but I am going to keep it simple and have the audience enjoy your music because I know that I have you for a little time. But can you tell me an overall, a quick of how you got started making this beautiful music? This is your 9th album. And wow, that's all I could say. So can you give me a quick overall
Story of how I got started? I mean, it depends where you want to start. I was born in France, and in France at that time, people were really interested in, there was a gypsy player from the south called Manitas de Platas, and people really loved his records. They were very popular. My parents owned them, and I guess that was probably the first time I heard that sound. They call it the Andalusian cadence. And also that, you know, the Manitas de Platas was a very raw player, and you know, later I learned he was kind of a renegade, and you know, he didn't play the forms properly and all that stuff that people get all excited about. But I, you know, for me, I loved it. As a little kid, I just got totally hooked on what he was doing. And then, you know, and flamenco, which is a, you know, a sort of, it's a little off the beaten path, and yet it kept kind of weaving through my life. You know, my first guitar teacher when we moved to Canada was a flamenco teacher and taught me some flamenco forms. And then my dad later in his life retired to Arles in the south of France and happened to move to the gypsy barrio of Arles. Arles is a little town. Yeah, it's what I think Van Gogh was famous for living there. In the gypsy barrio, there were kids, just gypsy kids, who would play the guitar this way. You know, they'd treat the box of the guitar like it was a percussion instrument, and they'd sort of strum and hit the thing, you know, and sort of beat out this rhythm on the guitar and sing. And I remember it was just amazing to me. It was so visceral, such an amazing way of playing the instrument. And by that time I was, you know, studying classical guitar, and I guess, you know, the idea of what gypsy music represented to me at that point was freedom, you know, the sort of kind of breaking away from this very strict tradition that I'd been studying up until that point. You know, when I ended up going to Berklee, which is a jazz school, and a few other music schools. And when I got out, when I graduated, I actually thought I was going to become a composer. I was a kind of behind-the-scenes guy. I wrote music for television and theater and dance. And I didn't, you know, people would ask me, you know, why, do you ever want to play live? And I'd say, what happens if you make a record and people love you, but then they'll forget you the next day. And I wanted to be a behind-the-scenes kind of a person. And I did that all through my 20s. And then right towards the end of my 20s, I had a really close friend who one day said, you know, you should really record your guitar playing because it's the best music that you write is your guitar music. And I said, oh, no, you know, I don't want to do that. And he luckily sort of pushed me, and eventually I did it, and I made Tempest, my first record. And, you know, that record came out, and honestly, I thought it was just a pipe dream, and I thought, you know, they were going to sit in my basement forever. You know, I went to one of those places, you know, where they manufacture CDs. Do you know what I'm talking about? And I wanted 500, you know, and they said, for pennies more, you can get 1,000, right? And I was like, oh, no, not 1,000 CDs, right? I'll never get rid of them. And anyway, those things flew out the door. And my life made this huge 90-degree turn, and here I am now talking to you. So,
and they've
never
been
know.
Flying ever since, huh? yes, it's amazing. I love the fact that you have incorporated all this elements into your music, you know, the flamenco, the rumba, and the jazz, and you bring it all together so beautifully. I heard about you, I would say about 4 or 5 years back, and I wasn't really into what I'm doing now, but I would listen to it. And I was like, wow, it makes me think of my days in Spain. And I went, man, that is just awesome. And then last year, was it last year or the year before, when you had that other the other album, I can't remember the name. But
the Blue Guitar
I'm
Sessions,
not good with,
was it?
Yes, the last one.
Yeah. The Blue Guitar Sessions.
Right, I'm not good with names. Sometimes I forget my own name, so I do apologize for that. But I loved
okay.
it.
That's okay. I'm the same way.
I loved it, and I was trying to get you for the interview, but your schedule was so hectic. And when I saw the opportunity, when I saw One World come out, I was, oh, I have to have him. I must have him. what is the most that you enjoy? I know on previous music you have written about the places you've been to. What was the inspiration on this album? What did you write about on this album?
Well, you're right. I mean, on the previous records, a lot of the sound of the record came from traveling. You know, so if I, for example, on Nomad, I went off to Cairo and I recorded with musicians in Egypt. And the Rumba Foundation, I went to Colombia and recorded with people there. And I worked also with a lot of Cuban musicians. And
nice.
And on this record, yeah, no, I know. Cuba's crazy. Even the bad musicians are good in Cuba. You know what I mean? the talent level is very high.
Hey, Jesse. Let's hope it goes the same thing for show host, because I'm from Cuba. So I hope even the bad ones.
So on this record, it wasn't really about going to one place or, you know, going to some location. It was more about pulling my focus back further. And I felt like if you pull your focus back far enough, you start to see the whole planet as if we're all, you know, sort of different branches. Every culture is a different branch of the same tree, which is how we came up with the album cover art, you know. The other thing that I started working with on this record was electronic loops and drum loops and things like that. And I mean, certainly I'd worked with them before in the past, but not to the degree that on this record, you know, it became a way of writing music instead of just a way of enhancing music.
Nice. Well, now I want to play another favorite. It's like you can't pick just one favorite. They are all so wonderful. I want to play Shake. Is that okay with you?
That sounds great. Thank you, by the way, for playing Beneath Your Skin, because that's not one that people usually pick, but that's one of my favorites. It takes you on a bit of a trip, that one. Huh? It starts somewhere and it takes you somewhere totally different. I love that one. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that about my own music, but anyway.
Yes, you are. it's got a mystery to it, you know. It's beautiful. And that's why I chose to play it first. And now, like I said, here I'm playing Shake. And this is from One World from Jesse's Cooking Love.
Thank you.
I love that song. And it makes me do exactly that. It makes me shake. I find that song so, I don't know if anybody ever told you about this, but I find it sexy, erotic. I find it, you know, that you get that sway going on. I love that song.
It's funny, you know, from time to time, people will come up to me and they'll say, you know, oh, you know what we do with your music? My wife and I, we get home, we put on your disc, we turn down the lights, and I'm like, you know, sir, please, really, don't need to know. Thank you. Some things you don't have to share.
TMI.
Yeah, too much information. Thank you.
But it is, though. It's sexy. It's you know, it's got that thing. It's got, I guess it's the mystery of the sound.
Yeah, I don't. It's funny. I mean, I don't know. I live with that sound. That's, you know, that's where I live. It's kind of like your own hand. You don't look at your own hand and think, sexy. You know what I mean? You just, it's your hand. You know, and I sort of, for me, I make that music, and I just kind of try to make the music that makes the hair stand up on the back of my neck. That's all. And
it does.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Then I have succeeded. If it makes one person happy, I've succeeded.
Well, I'm sure you're making more than one person happy. I have seen your tour schedule. I have seen so. I mean, there is so much of you and your music out there that is unbelievable. You are amazing, wonderful, and you're packing every place that you go to. You know. So, can you tell me more about this One World Tour? I mean, it's like you're going everywhere.
Well, so far, I guess we started, you know, earlier this year when the album came out, and we did a lot of touring across Canada, my home. And then just this fall, we did about a month of touring in the United States. We started off in Arizona and California, and then worked our way west, ended up in New York and Philadelphia. But, you know, the U.S. is so big that you can't really come close to doing it in a month. So we're going to be back all next spring. We're going to be touring through the U.S. And then after that, after we've, you know, really sort of done the U.S., and we're going to hopefully go off and do Europe and other parts of the world. But, yeah, we're going to be there. For people who are interested and want to check the schedule, they can either go to my website, jessiecook.com, or my Facebook page, and we've got dates. But I'm not even sure if all the dates are listed, so they, you know, they should check back from time to time. But we're going to be down in the U.S. for forever, I think, next spring. I'm going to be moving in, which is not bad, because when you live in Canada, any chance to escape the winter is not a bad thing. You know what I mean?
I can imagine. The diversity on this album is very unique. As a matter of fact, I think it's one of the most diverse albums I have ever had the pleasure of listening. And I need to know more as to what you refer to as the, and I cannot say this, Constantinople sound. Is this a place?
Oh, Constantinople. Constantinople was the ancient city that existed between the East and the West. You know, today it's called Istanbul. It's Turkey, you know, but
okay.
Under the Emperor Constantine, the Roman Emperor Constantine, it was called Constantinople. I think before that it was called Byzantium. It's had many names throughout its history, but Constantinople was kind of the New York of the planet for 1500 years. It was like the city where everybody passed through. It was such an important city right on the trade routes, and it was the capital of, you know, the Roman Empire for a while, and then it was the capital of the Ottoman Empire. You could imagine, you know, back in a time where people didn't travel much, you know, people probably never went further than 50 miles from their home, but not in Constantinople. Constantinople was a place where, you know, you would find people from the Far East, people from the Middle East, people from Europe, all different, you know, people from Africa, all passing through. And I always thought, can you imagine what a market would have sounded like? You know, musicians playing in the street in a market in Constantinople, you know, must have been from all over, and they must have been mixing the sound together. And You know, I've always wanted to make that kind of music where it's just a meeting place for music from all over the world. And also on this record, it's also a meeting place. I was trying to bring in the element of different time periods. So, you know, you've got very modern industrial sounds and synthetic sounds, and you've also got ancient sounds like the Armenian duduk, which is one of the oldest instruments that is has been around for thousands of years and is still being played today. And it's, you know, it's almost a ghost-like sounding instrument, but it somehow you mix those modern sounds and the ancient sounds, and they all fit together so nicely. And I always wonder if that is somehow, that speaks to the idea that music is the universal language. It's that thing that humans, you know, do all over the planet and have done throughout time.
Amen. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Now, I would like to play the steampunk Rickshaw. I think they're so... I like the... I'm probably picking up the really ones that you'd be like, huh? But I love this one as well. So if you don't mind, I would love to play... Okay, here we go. Steampunk Rickshaw from this extraordinary guitarist, Jesse Cook. Here we go. Thank you. This whole album is a journey. It's a musical journey. And for me personally, it brings so many feelings, so many memories because of the sounds. The sounds is something that I have experienced. You know, like I told you, I'm Cuban, and I have friends that I met in Germany, like from India. And, I mean, it's just a lovely, lovely fusion of all these instruments and places that just make it so outstanding.
Thank you.
So besides, no problem, no, thank you. So besides the fact that you will be touring again soon, I don't think you'll be coming out with anything anytime soon. But
oh, no, I just finished that one.
That's what I'm saying.
I have to start writing. Yeah.
Do you have music, you know, sitting in an archive somewhere that you have already written that is ready for another album, or once you write for that specific album that you're planning on doing, what is your strategy when it comes to making an album?
It's funny you should ask. I have music that sort of sits in all sorts of folders on my computer. Usually the way it works, though, is, you know, I'll write a bunch of music for an album, and then half of it or more ends up not making the record. And so they're just songs that end up kind of never seeing the light of day, or they never really get fleshed out. You know, I never produce them and record them properly. But what I don't tend to do is go back. When I make a new record, I don't go back through those old folders looking for, you know, sort of, diamonds in the rough or whatever. I just tend to keep moving forward and writing new music. So, I don't know, maybe someday, long after I'm gone, they'll find a folder of all sorts of, you know, sort of music that maybe they'll like it or maybe they'll hate it. I don't know. I have no idea.
Oh,
but
no.
It's fun. But I have to be in a certain headspace, and I try to make a record feel like a record. And I find the best way to do that is to kind of write it all in a block, so that it, you know, it all holds together. There's a certain creative impulse. The other thing is that I try to change the way I write. So for each record, I'll approach it from a different point of view, because after you make one or two albums, you've kind of said what you have to say that just kind of naturally flows from you, and you start having to challenge yourself, putting yourself into different situations to try and get out of your whatever habits you had as a writer. When I made the Blue Guitar Sessions, normally I write in the studio at home. Instead, I went off on vacation with my family, and I just said, okay, every morning I'm going to write a piece of music. It's just going to be for two guitars, and it's going to be the first thing I do. I get up, you know, have my coffee and write that piece. And if it takes me all day, so be it. And if it takes me 2 minutes, so be it. But, you know, I can do whatever I want with the rest of the day. And I wrote the whole album, you know, in about, well, one vacation, whatever that was, 2 or 3 weeks or something. And I found they came very quickly, but they also sounded like they all kind of sat together. You know, and they all came from a certain perspective. You know, they were all sort of starting from two guitars. Whereas on this record, I started them all, you know, in the studio using drum loops and, you know, different types of sound loops and splicing techniques. And so it was a whole different series of puzzles to solve and kind of musical impulses to react to. And that's why I think this record sounds so different from all the others.
Amen, amen. I know you're going to have to believe in us, but I have a question about one of the songs. Tommy, I'm a freak about titles. Tommy and Me, what is that particular song about, and why Tommy and Me?
Oh, okay, well, you probably noticed there are two guitars on there. There's, you know, myself, and then there's a steel string guitar, and that's being played by Tommy Emmanuel, who is just a remarkable guitar player. He's Australian. I think he lives in Nashville, but I don't know how often he actually sleeps in Nashville because he probably does 300 dates a year. He's a remarkable guy. For people who haven't seen Tommy Emmanuel, Google him. I think you'll be amazed. That guy is like, I think I always compare him to, you know, just a tap, a musical tap. You turn on the tap and music just comes rushing out. You know, over the years, I've done this thing where I'll invite somebody to play on my record and we'll be on different parts of the planet, and I'll send email off the files, sound files, and they'll record something and email it back to me. And usually you'll get maybe whatever, three or four takes, and the takes will be them playing to the track all the way through. And you'll find if you list compare the different takes, you'll realize that they kind of played similar things on each try. You know, they just maybe there was subtle variations. Maybe they got this one a little better, this lick a little better on one take. With Tommy, he sent me three takes and they were completely different. There was nothing similar about them. All of them going way out there. You know, like, you know, there's one where he's sort of doing a George Benson kind of sing along to the guitar as he's playing it. There's another one where he's just doing these incredible hammer on techniques, and he's a guy where I just think that he really is just a fount of music. He's just a fountain that sort of bubbles up in him. I almost feel like I should re-release that song and just use each take individually so people can hear all three versions of what Tommy Emmanuel had to say about that. I was very honored that he wanted to play on this record.
Well, I will be playing that. You are a Juno Award winner, and you've been nominated like 10, 11 times. Did that seem real to you when the fact that you thought that you were going to make your first album and it was going to sit in the basement forever? And, you know, how do you relate that? How do you conceive that in your mind? Wow, you know, I thought my music was going to sit in the, you know, those albums, and now here you are, you know, a Juno Award and all the nominations. How does that feel?
You know what? It's it is a constantly an amazing thing for me. It's one of those things where I realize, you know, had I just made a slightly different choice at one point in my life would have been completely different. You know, it's funny how there are so many things that we do day after day the same, and they don't really affect where we go in life or what we do. And then there's once in a while, there's like an important decision that we make. And mine, of course, was to pursue this. I really didn't think it was going to go anywhere. And obviously, it's taken me to places I never thought I would get to go. I mean, you know, I never thought I would go to Asia. I never thought I'd be in China, let alone perform in China on a big stage in Beijing. I never thought I would be playing music on a castle in, you know, in Lebanon, you know, at Biblos Castle in Beirut. You know, there are just all these things that have sort of happened, that music, gifts that music has brought me that, you know, I'm so thankful for. I really, you know, I can't imagine a more enjoyable way to spend your life, you know, I know I'm very lucky. I know a lot of people don't love their jobs. They do the jobs because that's what pays the bill. And I get to do something I really love and also, you know, that pays my bill. So I think I'm very lucky. I'm very fortunate. I realize that, and I have to remind myself of that every day.
And we're lucky to have you among the genre and to listen to your music. Your PBS special, is that something that's still continuing?
Absolutely. I've done a couple of them. They continue to play them, I think. It's one of those things where PBS, every station decides what they're going to play. You know, when I first started working with PBS, I thought of PBS as a network, you know, a sort of national network. And I've come to realize that, in fact, it's more of a kind of a federation of stations. So, you know, that one station in Texas will say, yeah, we're going to play this, and we're going to play it a lot. And some other station somewhere else will say, oh, no, we're not playing it at all. And so it's one of those things. It's hard to talk about because it really depends on where you live, whether or not you'll see it on your local PBS station. But, you know, I hope people do get to see it in their local PBS station because it's got – there were two shows completely filmed I'm very proud of them. I mean, it represents our live show, which is really, I think, quite a different experience from the records I make.
Nice, nice. Well, I hate to say goodbye, but it's not, excuse me, it's not goodbye. It's until next time. I'm sitting here dying, obviously. But I had to, I couldn't reschedule. Like, I just had to talk with you. it is an honor. A true honor to be able to talk with someone that you have listened through the years and admired through the years and enjoy their music. And in your case, it's a true, true honor. And I am more than humble to have had you on the show today.
Well, thank you, Annie. It's been a real pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And we're going to have to say goodbye to Jesse. I will continue playing the music, for the album, and maybe throw one from the last album in here. Who knows? But again, Jesse, thank you. Thank you so, so much. We really love you and appreciate your music. And just let me know. You have my number the next time you're back this way, so that I can make it a point to come and see you in person.
That would be great. That would be great. Thank you again for having me on the show.
No, thank you. You have a blessed day and a wonderful rest of your day, okay? Thank you so much.
You too. You too. Hope
Ladies
you get better
gentlemen.
Soon.
Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you. that was the phenomenon flamenco guitarist Jesse Cook, and I am going to continue playing the music from One World. This is an album that I think is just wow. And the next song that I would like to play is Taxi Brazil. Check this out, guys. It is just amazing. Wow, I love that song. And I'm sorry, but it is sexy. To reach his own. I'm playing now, Tommy and Me. Well, that closed the show for today. Thank you so much, and I will get back with you next week with another guest artist, and that will be Robert Tardig. Thank you so much, and you have a wonderful day.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to Annie Latin Jazzy Rodriguez. Until we meet again, stay blessed and don't forget to keep it smooth. Have a good night.
Well, I would like to thank my guest, Jesse Cook, this evening for coming and thank you to Jesse for coming to the show, and I look forward to seeing him real soon in the States again. And, of course, I was kidding with him, but I wasn't really kidding. He knows when my birthday is, and he also knows what I want for my birthday. So let's hope that it comes through, okay? Well, thank you so much for listening, and I will see you next time. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to Annie Latin Jazzy Rodriguez. Until we meet again, stay blessed and don't forget to keep it smooth. Have a good night.
Wow. Now I'm going to play To Your Shore.
Thank you.
That was Bombay Slam. It sure be jamming. Okay, here it comes. One more time. Thank you for joining me tonight on Up Close and Personal with Latin Jazzy. Until the next time, here you go.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to Annie Latin Jazzy Rodriguez. Until we meet again, stay blessed and don't forget to keep it smooth. Have a good night.